Truth, Lord, but even the dogs may eat of the crumbs which fall under their master's table. May I speak in the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel brings a problematic Christian theme sharply into focus. The theme is problematic because it lays claim to a place in another religion, in another people's story. And it's also an important fault line in the Gospel narrative, one which should also inform, I would argue, how we interact with others, particularly other Christians. In this rather shocking story, shocking both to ancient and to modern ears for different reasons, Jesus, after comparing a non-Jew, the Syrophoenician woman in another gospel, to a dog, then extends his blessing and grace to this Gentile. Instead of denying her spiritual bread, he relents and shares those crumbs with someone who is not one of God's chosen people, to someone outside of the covenant. It's a fault line in the gospel narrative because at this moment, the blessing and grace which was reserved for God's chosen people was shared with us, those outside the company of the blessed. It's shocking at the time because the blessings of the covenant were being extended beyond the people of Israel. And it's problematic now, one, because of the language that was used, and two, because of what has happened since then. The heavy Hebrew heritage of our Christianity is complex, and our treatment of our crumb-giving benefactors has not always been exemplary. In the worst cases, Christians thanked the Jewish people for their hymnody, liturgy, and messianic tradition by branding them as killers of the Son of God, by putting them in ghettos and banning them from the country, for which we should be deeply penitent. Our Psalms, the most influential single source we see in the prayer book, which we cherish, are of course Hebrew hymns. They were written by shepherds and by scribes and by kings. In moments of bucolic ecstasy, in the mire of sin and shame, in exile and defeat, in triumph and in love, they are a dulcet depiction of the entire length and breadth of the spiritual life. Our opening presses and responses are taken from the Psalms. We have canticles and hymns, sentences of confession, of comfort, of exhortation, and of course, the mighty weight of the entire Psalter, which we say each day at Matins and Evensong, not to mention the host of private prayers which a priest might say to herself in parts of the service. Our Eucharist was instituted at the sharing of a meal at the Jewish festival of Passover, and if we think we owe the times and dates to some people repetitively go on, of our liturgical feasts to pagans and to Romans, we don't need to look too closely to see how much more we are indebted to our older brothers and sisters. Baptism, a rite which has become synonymous with the Christian life, has its origin as a Jewish rite of cleansing, and the idea of being God's chosen people who will be a light to other nations, the ethical framework of the Ten Commandments, which we cherish, our Old Testament, which is a huge chunk of our scriptures, and the principle of Sabbath rest. It is beyond my skill and the time we have this morning to exhaust the list of things that we owe to our Jewish brothers and sisters, but I will say that the debt is great. And yet throughout this history, we, like the prodigal son, who took his father's fortune without thanks, have scorned these God's chosen people. In this season of Lent, we are called to ask forgiveness for our sins and time for amendment of life. But we also need now to examine what we have done with what we have received in the faith. And so this really is a sermon against smugness and complacency of the established church. We've gathered up these crumbs from the table, and what have we done with them? We gather them up like dogs in this story. We've licked up the floor and left nothing else for anyone else. We've carried them off and buried them in the garden like a bone to gnaw over later, forgetting and forsaking often the master whose table from which they fell. But perhaps worse, we deny those same spiritual crumbs of life and sustenance to those who have come after us. The Orthodox Church have done it to the Catholics with their crumbs, and the Catholics have done it to the Anglicans with their crumbs. The Anglicans did it to the Methodists with their crumbs, and the Methodists did it to the United Reformed Church with their crumbs, and the United Reformed Church did it to the Baptists with their crumbs. And so far as we are concerned, in our conceit and comfort, the autocephalous churches, the free and independent churches which have sprung up, don't have any crumbs at all, not even a little bit of dust and dirt left on the floor from where those crumbs first landed. Are we not called in the prayer book to seek unity with all who profess and call themselves Christians, that we might live in unity and godly love, rather than hoarding up the treasures for ourselves here on earth? The church and we need to be more generous in our acknowledgement of the things of God in unexpected places. And finally, a personal Christian vocational challenge. You and I, what have we done with the crumbs left to us by our masters in Christ? Have we kneaded them, added yeast and flour, let them grow, and divided them and shared them? Or have we taken them and buried them in our hearts, where no light can shine upon them, and where no eyes can see them nor ears hear, where no one has been given the merit, where no one has been shown the grace, and where no one can feed on their substance and then grow into the likeness of Christ, God's Son? Shame on us for when we have guzzled and consumed those crumbs which fell from our Master's table rather than sharing them generously. God, forgive us for eating all of the spiritual gifts and mercies of Lent and not sharing even the meager gifts that we have with those around us. God, have mercy upon us for not extending the extraordinary mercy and grace that we have shown to others. God, help us not to be like that wicked and faithless and sinful servant who received forgiveness for his debts and yet then showed not a crumb of mercy to his debtors. Lord, forgive us for our meanness, our leanness, our covetousness, and our cruelty towards others. This Lent, may we all be thankful for the great benefits which we have received at God's hands and not deny those spiritual blessings to others. May we give generously of ourselves, of our faith tradition, and of our cash to those who are in need. Amen.